Father God, we just come before you just this morning, God, just asking for forgiveness, laying our hearts open before you, God, looking at the just the events of this past week. Father, just flood our hearts with mixed emotions. Father, sometimes there's pain and confusion. Sometimes there's fear and disbelief. But God, you're the author of peace. And I pray, Father, that that you would forgive us as a church. Forgive us as a nation where we've failed you. Forgive us where we've caused pain and we should have brought healing. Father, I pray that that we would be that light, that we would be that salt that you've called us to be. I pray that you would use your body here to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring reconciliation. Father, to be your hands and feet in this world. God, I pray for our church. I know we're kind of scattered right now, and we haven't seen each other in a couple of months. And for some of us, God, I know that just hurts. But God, you're so good. Father, you've given us technology where we can be together even though we're in different homes. And Father, we just praise you for that. God, I thank you for worship this morning. For as one accord, wherever we're at, God, we can just come into your throne room to worship, to lay our burdens at your feet. God, to hear from your word, to be refreshed, to be renewed. I just pray that you would go with us now, Lord. I pray that you would just speak the message that you've laid upon my heart over the past couple of weeks. Just speak that to your people. God, I know that it's, I don't want to stand in your way. And so I just pray that you would remove me or mute me, that your words and your words alone be heard. Father, I thank you so much for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A good morning, church. And sorry for the feedback. Don't know what's going on there. But we're so glad that you guys have tuned in on Facebook Live. I know it's a little different, a little weird, not having everybody in church, especially for me, for Bud. And if you're looking for Bud this morning and we're hoping that he was going to be here, I apologize. He's not. He and Lori have taken just a small, I wouldn't even call it a vacation. They've just gone to visit family, and it's the first time that they've been away from this area in about 2 months. So hopefully you're taking that opportunity as well just to rest and relax and refocus your life on God's Word. I know that that's what they're doing. Bud said he was going to be planning for summer messages and stuff over the past week and this upcoming week. And so definitely looking forward to seeing them again next Sunday. Last week, Bud ended a 4-week series talking about heaven, talking about he was talking about heaven. He was talking about how God had designed that for us. He talked about hell. He talked about how that was not God's plan for us. He talked about salvation. And then we took the Lord's Supper last week. He asked me if I wanted to continue that. I said, no, absolutely not. I've got my own little message that we'll go with today. For those of you that may catch me looking around, this is quite difficult. I know Bud's told you that a couple of times, but there's only a handful of people here in church, and so trying to address them, trying to address you on Facebook Live, and if I'm sweating, I apologize because that's just what I do. And if you don't know who I am, my name's Clint Pruitt. I'm the youth pastor here at Common Ground. So, because I know there's a bunch of people that don't normally go to our church that get to see us on Facebook Live. And when we do open back up, we hope to see you here. Hopefully that you can come and visit us. So, today's lesson is, or today's message is just a lesson from a servant. And hopefully we can get something out of this. Hopefully we can get a little hope out of this. Understand that this guy in Scripture, he's no different than you or I. He doesn't even have a name. Scripture doesn't give him a name, just calls him a servant. And so he has the same life that we do. He has no special characteristics. He has no special, nothing special about him. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of 2 Kings. That's where we're going to start. 2 Kings chapter 6. But have you ever been in a situation, and I kind of guess this is a rhetorical question, but have you ever been in a situation that's a crisis? Have you ever been in that crisis and been worried or been unsure of how things are going to end up? Do you ever wonder why this is happening to you? Do you ever wonder, what did I do to cause this? What did I do to make this happen in my life? Or do you ever wonder how I can fix this? Well, for most of that, if we strip that away, if we strip all of that away, it boils down to nothing but fear. And it's fear of the unknown. It's fear of making a mistake in life. It's fear of losing control of what's happening. And if you look over the past couple of months, we're all in this together. I know you've heard that. We're all in this together. But we all actually are in this weird time in human history that we all have to shut down. And that tomorrow looks fuzzy. And the information that we get changes day to day. And the things that we're used to, they're not there anymore. Or the things that we're used to, we have a hard time getting back to that norm in our life. My wife has made mention multiple times that she's just ready for things to go back to normal. And the amazing thing is we don't know what that new normal is per se. But we all have a default. Whenever we're afraid, each one of us has something that we default to. Some of us, for some of us, it's money. We think we can buy our way out of a situation, or we think we can buy our way out of a problem, or we think that, if I buy this, it's going to help me, feel better about myself, or if I, spend this kind of money. For some of us, our relationships are the things that we default to. Not only do we get everybody's opinion on Facebook, but if we have a problem in our life, we might go and tell everybody that will listen to us. We might tell everybody that will pay any kind of attention to us what's going on in our life. And so we not only have our own problem to deal with, and that kind of, I guess, confusion, but now we have 100 different people's opinions on what we should do or shouldn't do. And that just adds to it. Or maybe we default to our connections in life, who we know, or who I am. I'm Clint Pruitt. I shouldn't be dealing with this. Elisha's servant was no different than we are. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, it's where we're going to start. 2 Kings chapter 6, and verse 8 through 23. says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God," and that's Elisha. "Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?' 'None of us, my lord the king,' said one of his officers. 'But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.' 'Go find out where he is,' the king ordered, 'so that I can send men and capture him.' The report came back: 'He is in Dothan.' Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city." Now what's happening is Elisha took over the role of Elijah the prophet. And so he is the main preacher, main prophet, main guy in Israel at this time. And he's the Arameans are what is today modern day Syria. And so the Arameans were coming into the nation of Israel and attacking them and pillaging and robbing and killing people. And the king of Aram was wanting to kill the king of Israel. And so every time the king of Aram made a plan to go capture him over here, God told Elisha, "Hey, he's going over there." So Elisha would tell the king. And every time, each and every time this would happen, the king of Aram was just getting more mad and more mad and more mad. And so he asked his guys, he said, "All right, which one of us is a spy? Which one of us is telling the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "No, king." He said, "It's the man of God. That man of God is telling everything that you say, even in your bedroom, to the king of Israel." And so he said, "All right, well, I need you to go find him and tell me where he's at so that we can capture him." And in verse 15, it says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city." Now, they're in this city of Samaria, and it's just Elisha and his servant. And the servant gets out early in the morning, and when he does, he looks, and the whole surrounding hillside is full of men. Might have been 100, might have been 1,000. But the Bible says there was an army of men surrounding the city. And what was going on was that they were here for them. And the servant walks out, stretches, and says, "Oh, man." And he realizes why they're there. He realizes what's going on. He realizes who they're there for. And the next thing he says, he's so scared. He goes, wakes up Elisha, and he says, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. The servant knew why those men were there. He came to woke up to a crisis in his life. Because he knew why they were there. He knew that they were trying to catch Elisha, trying to get him. But they also knew that, he also knew that probably for himself, he wasn't going to make it past that day. Because he was nobody. And so his first thing to do was to wake up Elisha, and he said, "What are we going to do? What's the plan?" And just like us, we like to have a plan in life. We like to know what we're doing. We like to know what tomorrow holds. We like to know what next month holds. We like to know what next year holds. We like to have security. We like to have that structure in life. And when all of that is taken away, fear sets in. And the servant was asking, "What do I need to do? What is the one thing, or what is something that we can do to get out of this situation. He wanted to know what he could do. He wanted security. He wanted a plan. He wanted to know the outcome so that if he didn't like that outcome, he could change that outcome to make it the outcome that he wanted that outcome to be. And don't we do the same thing? Problems arise in our life and we don't like where this is heading, so we're trying to manipulate everything we can in our own life to try to change that, to make it something that we want it to be, so that we can deal with it, so that we can process it, so that we can hold on a little bit better. He was completely afraid. He was completely afraid of what was coming or what he thought was coming. In verse 16, Elisha says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, I can imagine that this guy probably looked at Elisha and thought he done lost his mind. Because he looked, and there's Elisha, and there's him. And there wasn't anybody else. They didn't have an army. It was just them two. And he looks out, and the hills are surrounded. There wasn't anybody else with them. And think about this. Think about this. God had showed Elisha every move that the king of Aram had made before this. But he didn't show him this one. Why? Why didn't he show him this one? Why did they have to go through this situation in life? Why was it today? They've avoided the king of Aram and the Aramean army this entire time until today. How often in the past few months have we allowed fear just to creep into our lives? And I'm not pointing any fingers because, you know, I see sick people every day. And if you don't think, you know, a little fear has jumped on me every once in a while, like, man, this stuff is real. This pandemic, you know, we kind of get mixed signals from people. You can pull up Facebook and every other post is something legit, something, you know, something not. And it gives us nothing but confusion in our own lives. And I imagine that 4 months ago that you had no idea that we would be scrounging for toilet paper in Walmart. No idea in your life that that would be an actual thing, that we would have to scrounge for something. I walked in Walmart last week or week before last, and found a 4-pack of toilet paper, some no-name brand that Walmart's never carried before, and I bought it, and I was like, woohoo! You know, we go back to the house. That's amazing. That's not our norm. That's not our life. That's not what we're used to. But yet, that's what we have right now. And so when the servant got up in the morning and he saw these guys, and the city surrounded, this was his new norm. And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." He's like, "You probably lost your mind." Verse 17 said, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha prayed to open his servant's eyes to what God was doing. And the servant saw God's plan starting to take place. But it wasn't the whole plan. He got to see that the hills in front of them were full of the heavenly host, full of God's army. He got to see that. But that wasn't all of God's plan. It wasn't just to rescue Elisha and his servant. You'll see that in a minute. But it did take, and for the servant itself, it did take a supernatural experience from God for him to see, for him to have faith. And just that moment of time for him to calm down, for him to trust in God, for him to trust that Elisha and he were going to be okay. Sometimes we feel like we need an answer to our crisis right now. And sometimes we get that answer immediately. But you also have to understand, and I know that you do, that there's sometimes that God waits. There's sometimes that God doesn't answer immediately. Verse 18 says, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike the people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them,